As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to One True Pod, the Athletic's Big 12 football podcast. I am Max Olson, joined as always by my co-host Jason Kersey, and by the latest and greatest addition to the Athletic college football staff, Sam Cohn Jr. Sam Cohn Jr., what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? How are y'all?
Welcome to the squad.
I'm happy to be here. It's nice to finally join you, Max. We've been talking about this for a long time. And
sure have.
Here, I finally have your recruitment. Your long recruitment has produced fruit. Now it is. We have finally gotten to this point where I'm here and I'm part of the team, and I'm very glad to be part of it.
So Sam, you're saying Max extended that offer like your freshman year?
Yes, I was definitely the 14-year-old quarterback who we offered.
It didn't come down to official visits and you know the very end of the process here. It's a couple years deal.
That's right.
Relationships.
That's absolutely right.
With relationships. Yeah, man. Well, congratulations on joining The Athletic. I know it's been a few weeks now. You're kind of getting the hang of things here. You've been hitting the road as well to visit a few Big 12 spots. So we'll definitely talk about that on this week's podcast. This is my first pod back from having a baby. So,
woo! Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We're doing that. Yeah, that's going great.
You look like a dad right now.
I do. I look weary. I've grown quite weary, Jason.
What's your average sleep?
Man, I don't know, like last night was like 1:30 to 8 with like a half hour up in the middle of the night bottle feeding my boy. So that's not my best. Bad. We've kind of had it's kind of been like that a little bit. He sleeps well. It's just just kind of trying to get my act together here a little bit, but we're doing okay. We're going to power through. We're getting a shot later today, so the immunity will be flown through me soon enough here. Excited about that.
Right on.
Man, busy times all of a sudden in the world of college football with spring games rolling now. Let's start with Sam. Just you went to Lubbock over the weekend. How was Evie Mays?
this is the most important question. Evie Mays was fantastic.
I honestly haven't been, so I'd love to hear a scouting report.
So it's really good. It's the one thing that is will surprise you is that one of the things that smacks you in the face when you get in line is this large dessert section. Like right before you order, right before you get to the register, there's a big thing of dessert. So like the barbecue is the draw for sure. And it was excellent, but I have to at least mention that because like I walked in there and then there's like a s'mores cheesecake down there. And so
because a lot of those joints you walk in and you kind of see like the puddings and stuff, what else do they have?
They had a fresh strawberry pie. They had a couple other things. I'm trying to remember what some of the other things were, but they have a pretty good selection of desserts. But no, the brisket is solid. The green chili cheddar sausage was on point. That was wonderful. And their pork ribs, that was probably actually the best thing of the group for me. Like I always go when I go to a new place and this is actually my second time at Evie Mays, but
okay.
whenever I go to a place, I always go Texas Trinity, you know, brisket, sausage, pork ribs. Mm-hmm. And the pork ribs, I think, were probably my favorite thing. I think that was the thing I ate the quickest and fall right off, tender, flavorful. The sausage was great, and the brisket was really, really good. So overall solid. Oh, and then they had green chili cheese grits, which I had. Mm-hmm. I had that and some collard greens on the side. Both of those were excellent. So it was a very good trip after dropping in on Matt Wells and the Texas Tech's coaching staff on Friday.
My God, Sam is coming for Andy Staples as the resident.
We got a connoisseur expert on the podcast here. I love it. I'm going to live vicariously through you this year as you hit the road and go to all these places. Cause you know, we've just been, I didn't go to a single game last year, man. You missed that part of it, that going out on Friday and trying to find something ridiculous to eat. You know, it's
no kidding.
I can't wait until we can get back out there and do that again.
You know, Max, I went to all of OU's road games last year and I didn't do any of that either. I mean,
it's true.
I DoorDashed to the hotel, you know, I mean,
you had thongs. You still had thongs, right?
Oh, yeah, I did do that. We did go to Fong's. Okay, all right, take it back. Fong's Pizza, the best place in the world. Yeah, we did go there.
Yeah, you got to make exception for that. No question. All right, let's start with a deal that you had to cover quite closely, Kersey. Chandler Morris Gate. we haven't had a pod in a little while. I know this story is finally in the rearview mirror here. We can finally stop caring about it. But now Chandler Morris at TCU after 1 year at Oklahoma, one season at Oklahoma, he's now been cleared. Oklahoma's no longer contesting and putting up a fight and all that. He was cleared in time for their spring game over the weekend. I guess let's start here. Why did this drag on so long, Jason? What was Lincoln Riley thinking?
Yeah, it's a little baffling because he has this strong opinion that you shouldn't transfer within the conference with any sort of penalty, which I guess I understand, but it seems sort of foolish because at the end of the day, because this is, we all know where this is all heading. You know, we all know that everyone's going to eventually be eligible. Everyone knew the NCAA one-time transfer exception was coming. The Big 12 changed its rule. I guess the last holdup was, and honestly, this all of this shit is so confusing to me that I didn't realize until Drew Davison at the Fort Worth paper reported that it was actually a national letter of intent issue, which I didn't even know that was part of this, but I guess that was the final holdup because the NLI is good for 1 year. And he didn't stay at OU for 1 year. So they're able to block him from immediate eligibility because of that. And so I guess after the NCAA rules, the Big 12 rules, Lincoln finally decided that he was going to go ahead and release Chandler Morris. You know, it just, again, it standing up for this principle is whatever, but this is not a PR battle that Lincoln Riley, who makes $8 million a year, can win. He just can't, not in 2021. And so it seems pretty ridiculous that we had to go through all this to end up in the place where we all knew we'd be.
Well, and it's tough because you're kind of swimming against the stream there. And if you're Lincoln Riley, because other conferences are coming out and saying, we're dropping our interconference transfer rule. This is becoming a decision that the Big 12 also made. And it doesn't seem like that hard of a conclusion to reach as we head toward this new frontier of one-time transfer rule. But it is to me, it was interesting that I think if you just look at it from the player's standpoint, I mean, Chandler Morris has as much of a right to play this year as Wandy Morris does. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what the hard argument is that Oklahoma has, you know, loaded up on transfers this year, and that's their right. You know, they raided Tennessee's roster after the Jeremy Pruitt firing, and you know, they're going to benefit quite a bit from guys that they hope are eligible right away. So it's hard to restrict that from somebody else.
Right. I think what he keeps coming back to is this idea that it shouldn't be allowed within the conference. You remember he took this sort of stance a few years ago with Austin Kendall, eventually relented that because, you know, he said it was his relationship with him and the fact that he was a grad transfer. Chandler Morris isn't a grad transfer, whatever. Again, it was never going to end the way that Lincoln wanted it to end. I think the thing that he won't say, okay, we can just say it. Like he's worried about tampering. That's what he thinks is happening. That's what he thinks goes on. And he wants to avoid that within the league. He won't come out and say that, but I think that's pretty clearly what this is about. So I guess if there's a way to sort of make some reassurances about that, I don't know how you do that really.
That's what's interesting is this new one-time transfer policy includes that both schools have to sign off that no tampering occurred, which tampering is one of those issues. Like I'd love to write about it someday. Maybe we'll get to it, but coaches don't ever want to talk about that deal on the record and, you know, sort of speak out against it because everyone does it no one's blameless in that deal. And so, I would be curious to see, you know, I would have, if this were an issue of tampering, I would love to have seen Lincoln Riley come out and say it and just deal with this out in public with Gary Patterson. I wonder if coaches will actually just sign off that no tampering occurred, even if it did, because they just don't want to get into that stuff. But you're right. I mean, this is an issue. Again, we don't know if that is the bottom line here, that this is Lincoln Riley's concern, but you know, that I understand the whole like intellectual property issue of someone going over to another school in your conference and taking this information with them. But I'm with you. I kind of, if that's what it's about, I feel like they should talk about that in public. Now, Sam, you also wrote at the time when this was going down about Chad Morris, his father, taking over Allen High School, which I think we know is a pretty important high school to the University of Oklahoma. So, I mean, I it's hard to say how much that played into it, but didn't just give kind of another, you know, intriguing little layer to all this.
It was another reason why it was inevitable that it was going to end this way because let's not forget Allen High School is where Kyler Murray came from. Allen High School is where Lee Morris came from. Both guys who played at OU. Greg Little, you know, who went on to the NFL draft and played at Ole Miss,
too, right?
But Bobby Evans. So there's a lot of guys that, you know, several of which went to OU. Little, of course, went to Ole Miss. That are high profile prospects that come out of that area, come out of that high school. And I don't think, honestly, Chad would have shut the door to OU, but you can't rule it out because Texas is a state where the high school coach has a ton of power and can do that. He wouldn't be the first and he wouldn't be the last to do such a thing. And I know, Max, you've heard stories of that, you know, of coaches around the state of Texas because they have that kind of power. So it was always going to end up this way, like Jason said. And I think the thing that bothered me the most was as long as we're not restricting coach movement, I don't think you should be restricting player movement, period. Sure. You know, and if it's a tampering thing, then just say it. I don't play this PR game and try to hem and haw and do all this other stuff. Just don't talk in code. Just be honest. Say you think it's a tampering issue, if it is. And if we're going to do that, let's go through with that. Otherwise, just let the kid go. He was not going to start at your place anyway. You have a quarterback you're happy with. It's not like he's leaving and he's leaving you holding the bag.
Nor are we talking about – yeah, nor are we talking about a player who is in line to start at TCU.
Right. And so, I mean, you've got Caleb Williams, you know, behind Spencer Rattler. You're set at quarterback. Mm-hmm. So – to me, there's no harm in, you know, him moving to another conference. If it's bad for the game, guess what? So are guys, you know, changing schools right before a bowl game. That's bad for the coaches changing schools right before a bowl game. That's bad for the game too. So, you know, there's to me, I'm glad it ended this way. I think we always knew it was going to end this way. And I think Chandler will be just fine at TCU. And like you said, he's not going to start this year. Max Duggan is the guy, it seems. So it may be a couple years before we see Chandler on the field.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I was just going to add, I mean, the thing about Chad Morris and blocking out OU, he doesn't have to just like shut the door to OU coaches. I mean, it could be as simple as if you have a bad relationship, couldn't it be as simple as him sitting down with his guy and saying, are you sure you want to go there? Like True. What they did to Chandler. Are you sure? I mean, though, yeah. To me, it's not even the risk of Lincoln Riley, a sign up that says no Oklahoma coach is allowed in the building. It's the little subtle things behind the scenes. If you don't have a good relationship with him, that can cause. So,
and I can understand, you know, nowadays, like it's just really hard to have 3-4 good quarterbacks in your program. Right. And so Lincoln Riley went through it with Austin Kendall. He didn't want to let Austin Kendall go to West Virginia. But they took Kyler Murray. So, you know, this was, and then took Jalen Hurts. So, you know, this was the right thing to do for him. In this case, over the offseason, they lose Tanner Mordecai and they lose Chandler Morris because they signed Caleb Williams. And they have Spencer Rattler, who, you know, is going to be there for another year or two. So I understand the aggravation that you invest this time and effort into building up these guys and then they just leave your room. But that's the sport these days.
Yeah. And Sam, you mentioned the coaching aspect. That's another thing about OU and Lincoln Riley did not hire these two guys, but Bill Beedenbaugh and Calvin Thibodeau both came to OU directly from other Big 12 schools.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't, yeah. Like the idea that, you know, there's these state secrets or whatever that we've got to guard, you know, otherwise we may lose a football game. To me, if your program is good enough, that is not an issue. And I can't imagine that Lincoln Riley is that worried about what Gary Patterson is doing at TCU. Okay. OU has been head and shoulders above that program for quite some time now. So again, to me, this finally, it was an unnecessary winding path to get there, but it ended where it should. Chandler is free and everybody can move on.
Well, and I can understand the fear of, in the future, we're going to have, you know, Oklahoma players going to Texas and Texas players going to Oklahoma and all, you know, all these kind of like, all these moves within the conference and stuff. But I mean, we even saw last year, Jason, an assistant from Oklahoma went to Texas and didn't change the outcome of Red River.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's going to happen.
It's happened a couple times. Jay Norvell, made the same Oklahoma to Texas, path as well. So, no, it's silly. And it's solved, and hopefully these things are not going to be a big deal in the future because they shouldn't be.
All right, we've spent way too much time on this. Let's move on to a piece that Sam wrote last week, what I thought was really interesting. Sam, you went to visit Waco and check in on Dave Aranda going into year two, if you want to call it a year two, because year one was sort of a year zero in some ways. Which we knew some new coaches were going to kind of deal with that with COVID, and Baylor dealt with a lot last year. I thought it was really impressive the way that Dave Aranda was so introspective. Well, that's Dave Aranda, so it's not a surprise, but just really introspective about where they're at and where he's at in becoming a head coach type. What can you tell the listener just about that chat with him and kind of what you took away from checking in on that kind of build up there?
You know, it was fascinating. I don't know that I've met somebody who is as publicly introspective and thoughtful as Dave. You know, I've been around a lot of coaches in, you know, my 15, 16 years covering football, and Dave is definitely different in that way, because I think especially in college football, guys are often guarded. You want to project a certain level of confidence and strength, and Dave has no problem being vulnerable. And I actually admire that. And he's, you know, I asked him a question about kind of how last year went and how things are different this year. And he went on for like 17 minutes, like, you know, on his own. And it was fascinating to listen to, because he basically said that he was not ready to be a head coach last year. Mm-hmm. Like he wanted he wasn't even sure that, you know, before he took this job, you know, in the years leading up to that he wasn't even sure that he wanted to be a head coach. You know, he said, I looked at,
you know, other guys who were, did well in that profession. And, you know, they're very, you know, it's a very alpha personality, and that's just not, he's the farthest from that. He's the guy that's in the back of the room that likes to listen and study and plan, and is very reserved.
Sure.
But the Baylor job seemed like a great fit for him. And COVID, I think, complicated matters because you don't get to know your team. It's kind of hard to install schemes and all that stuff virtually. And certainly that was a challenge for everybody. But when you're just taking over a team and you're getting to know guys, it's a challenge. But he basically said that, yeah, he goes, I was not a guy that said, this is the way I want to do it. We're going to do it this way, you know, my way or the highway. That was just never his thing. And as the season went on, he started to learn that, guess what? I've got to be assertive. I've got to say, hey, I prefer this. I don't prefer that. I'm not going to just bounce everything off of every other coach, because that was one thing was happening. He would come up with an idea, or he had an idea, and then he would say, well, what do you think? What do you think? And he would, it became, yeah, I think, a little too noisy. And that, on top of the offensive issues, they were a mess as an offense last year. Mm-hmm. That was another thing that took some time for him to learn about, okay, what kind of personality do I want my offense to have? What kind of identity do I want my staff to have? And those are all things that he's started to figure out over this last few months and last year that I think are going to help him and help that program a lot moving forward in 2021.
You know, it's, I never really thought about this, but it has to be true that for guys like Dave Aranda, the 8 months of the offseason are kind of that time when you figure out how to be a head coach. And, mm-hmm, and you think about what they went through last offseason, where starting with the cancellation of spring ball, he's having to respond and react to all this unprecedented stuff and figure out, how do we still get done what we need to get done in this, you know, shortened period of time, this really messed up summer and all that. And I think you saw, I thought he responded well, just maybe, like emotionally, or I think he responded well to like what's going on with his players, making sure we look after them, you know, trying to build these connections with them. But it you know, maybe he didn't totally take the time for himself to just say, hey, what do we, you know, what's my blueprint here? Which I think it kind of makes sense, because some of these guys, you know, he was a coordinator for a very long time. You've got people in your ear saying, hey, when are you going to make the jump? When are you going to do it? And I think that hits everybody a little bit differently in terms of what their actual, ambition is. Jason, you obviously watched a few Baylor games last year. Is it, what did you think of Aranda sort of summing up what went wrong there?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a great piece. And Dave Aranda is such an interesting hire to me at the time, because like Sam said, I mean, he's a guy that was such a great defensive coordinator that you almost wondered if he was going to take the Brent Venables path and sort of never make that jump. And he took over a program that was actually in really good shape because of Matt Rhule. And I love, by the way, his move this offseason, the Jeff Grimes hire. I think that was a really, really good hire and could make a big difference. I don't know. It's just such an interesting place. Baylor is such an interesting place and such a unique place. And I'm sure, and I know that it's hard to win there, but guys have done it. And he seems to sort of be figuring it out.
I think the thing that's been most challenging for Dave is like Jason said, he's been such a great coordinator. And scheme has always been his thing. Like, mm-hmm, you watch that. I went to the Lone Star Clinic last year before the pandemic in February in College Station and watched him lecture, you know, on his defense. And it's fascinating to watch because he is on point with that stuff. Now, that is only a small part of what being a college football head coach is.
Yeah.
And he said straight up, he said, I got lost in plays last year. I allowed us to get lost in plays, because in the way to figure things out for him has always been, how do we figure this out on the whiteboard? How do we figure this out on the field schematically? And the things that he had to do last year were well beyond anything that happened on the field. And being a head coach is like being a CEO. You know, you have to manage people. You have to manage a culture and all that. Now, long-term, now that he's figured this out and is starting to come out of his shell a little bit, I think it bodes well for them. And like Jason said, it is a unique job in a unique place, but I do think the infrastructure that is there and the fact that they have had success in the recent past means that this is not the Baylor that was 20 years ago, where, you know, you're trying to dig yourself out of, you know, the basement. They're in a place that's really good for recruiting. Their facilities are in great shape. They've got a beautiful stadium. I think the potential there for him if he can move forward. And if the Grimes hire works out, mm-hmm. I think potential is really, really good long-term for him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say the one game that I saw them play live last year, they played OU really tough. I mean, they played them really tough. And I think, you know, had them a little bit nervous there for a while.
Well, and I think the offensive identity piece of it is so important. They just, you know, and to me, like, I was excited about what they put together last year. I think on paper, you thought, okay, it could kind of be some combination of LSU and North Carolina under Fedora and, you know, spread it out. Charlie Brewer's going to like this, all that. And it just never really fit together. And I think it now, instead of having kind of three different voices sort of guiding your offense, now it's a pretty clear vision, with Jeff Grimes bringing his O-line coach with him of here's what we do. And I think we saw at BYU, it is a real multiple versatile thing that I think, you know, this league keeps changing, right? It's not the old air raid league anymore. And I think it's going to be fun to see them try to kind of offensively throw a curveball at people, with being a little bit different. Obviously the quarterback situation there, is going to dictate how far they can go. What's your sense, Sam, of, with that 3-4 man battle there of kind of where that could go?
Yeah, I think, you know, we got four guys in it. Although I think Kyron Drone is a true freshman who's immensely talented. I think, you know, he's a true freshman. So I think you're going to look at one of the more experienced guys, Jacob Zeno, Gary Bohannon got a lot of experience, decent amount of playing experience. I think it could be one of those two guys. Oh, I wouldn't rule out Blake Shapen. I will say while I was there, definitely a lot of compliments about his playmaking ability that he can throw it just about and make about any throw, can throw it by any arm angle. Maybe not unlike a Zach Wilson, you know, in terms of the things that he can do, but he does have to learn how to rein in mistakes and decision-making, things like that. You know, he's also a younger guy. I think it's going to be Zeno or Bohan, and I probably lean towards Zeno just because when I've seen him on the field, and I go back to the way he looked and flashed in that Big 12 championship game a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think if he could just bottle that up.
If he could bottle that up and just go, I think you've really got something. But no, I think he's a –
Was it 81-yard touchdown pass?
Is that what it was.
Stepped into the game with a freaking rifle for an arm. It was incredible.
I mean, it was something. So, no, I think I kind of lean towards Zeno, but I don't rule out Bohannon by any stretch. I think it ends up being one of those two guys. But I think, like you guys said, I think the identity and having Grimes – you know, he's got a very clear identity of what he wants to do. He's going to be heavily in the wide zone. They're going to be consistent and cohesive on offense this year as opposed to the mess that was painful to watch last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to Texas Tech. You spent the weekend there, Sam. Obviously, kind of one of the big headlines coming out of that is, you know, their best playmaker, Easy, is down. And we'll see how long Eric Ezekama is going to be missing for Texas Tech. But I think that's a pretty significant loss there. They Matt Wells revealed that on Saturday that they lost him last week. What did you make of that setback for Texas Tech, Sam?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, definitely, because you got a new quarterback here in Tyler Shough who's trying to build chemistry with these guys this summer. You know, and it's not a guarantee that Shuck's going to start just yet. But if after watching, you know, all those guys throw the ball around, if I had to guess who's starting, I think it's Tyler Shough. He's the most physically gifted of the quarterbacks in that room right now. And when I watched him on Saturday, he throws a very pretty ball. He makes all the plays. And so I think he's the guy, and he's got to build that chemistry with those guys. So he's had some time. He just got to Texas Tech, like enrolled and everything, to practices in the spring practice. So I only got 13 out of the 15 spring practices. So he's been spending extra time and all that, but that's going to be a challenge because that means you're going to have to develop that chemistry in August. If assuming that Easy is back in August, and Matt said they'll assess him in August. They hope that he's recovered in time to play the first game of the season, but you know, they're going to have to assess that on his recovery and they hope that he heals quickly. So some of these other guys, you know, the Dalton Riggins of the world are going to have to step up and they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to just make some plays, develop some chemistry. And, you know, I think they're going to have to figure out how to run the ball, you know, really well, which I think they can. They've got some experienced backs back and, you know, up front, I think is going to be a big, big key for them, but certainly it's a tough break and tough news for Texas Tech to lose that guy, your leading receiver, you know, your best playmaker in the passing game, you know, for the bulk of the summer.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, what else stood out to you from their spring game? I think obviously Texas Tech is in a really interesting position here where I don't think it's unfair to say that it's kind of a must-win situation. I don't know, you know, they need to get to a bowl game. And is that even enough? I guess we'll see. I mean, it's time to kind of see some real progress here under Matt Wells and his staff. What stood out to you from their spring game and just sort of the state of their program?
Yeah, I think you can certainly see Sonny Cumbie's stamp on the offense. You know, they came out right away and it looks familiar, you know, up tempo, snapping quick, you know, throwing it downfield. It certainly Cumbie's going to bring back a flavor offensively that Texas Tech fans are familiar with. And I think that'll bode well for them long-term. But I think what stood out to me about Texas Tech is the depth of this defense. They're going to be really good up front next year. They've got virtually their entire defensive line back. They've got their entire linebacker room back. Most of the back end is back. They've got a ton of guys. Keith Patterson's got a tremendous amount of depth on his defense to work with. I was impressed by Tony Bradford, who they're moving into nose tackle. He's had a great spring. Tyree Wilson, the transfer from Texas A&M, who's at defensive end. Tyree has had a wonderful spring, and I think they're very excited about what he could bring to them off the edge. The linebackers we mentioned, you know, so many of those guys are back. Schooler, Morgenstern, and Merriweather. They've got a ton of experience up front. And
that was a program that was able to bring back a lot of these super seniors too, which I think right now for anybody that's like kind of on the fringe of getting good, I feel like that's such an important step right now.
No doubt. I mean, DeMarcus Fields, you know, in the back end, in the secondary, that guy's been playing Big 12 football forever.
Yeah.
That's huge for this program at this point in its development. So I think funny to say, I think I feel better about Texas Tech's defense going into 2021 than I do about its offense. When's the last time we said that? I mean, it has to have been before Mike Leach was at Texas Tech before you felt more confident about what Texas Tech has on defense and how good they will be on that side of the ball than they will offensively. Because if you look, I know we all remember the HBU game last year and it was a little bit of a disaster. But if you look in conference play, Texas Tech was pretty good. They were in the middle of the pack, yards per play. They made big jumps from bottom of the conference to middle, closer to the upper part of the conference defensively in Big 12 play alone. And if they, with all these guys back, I feel like they can take another step forward. And the question is to me, again, it's weird to ask this question, are they going to score enough points? Are they going to be good enough offensively?
Yeah. Are you buying this, Kersey? Are you buying stock on Tech or do we feel like as you look at the conference and as we see here today, guys, honestly, I can't tell you here's how the Big 12 is going to go 1-10. I think it's still, I mean, I can tell you who's 10, but I don't know about 1-10. I still am kind of trying to sort out in my head where these programs are at after such a weird season. But you buy it with Texas Tech, Kersey, or are you after seeing two seasons of them underwhelmed so far? Is it probably better to be skeptical?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little underwhelmed by what they've done so far, but I do think Tyler Shuck is interesting, and I think if he's able to take the reins of that offense, I think that'd be interesting. Now, Sir Roderick Thompson is out too right now, isn't he?
He's been out in the spring, but yeah, he should be back and ready to go when season comes.
Yeah, but I mean that obviously will be important to get him back too. But yeah, I'm with you. I kind of feel pretty good saying OU would be at the top right now. I mean, they've won it 6 years in a row. So, and then I feel pretty good about saying Kansas will be at the bottom and really anywhere in between that.
I feel good about Iowa State at two and buying with Oklahoma. I have no idea who the hell the number three team in the Big 12 is right now.
I feel like I'd probably say Texas, but I also don't, you know.
I'm leaning TCU a little bit, actually.
I'm leaning not Texas. Yeah. So I think I think the door is like open right. No, and I'm not saying they're going to be bad or anything. I'm just saying I think I kind of am inclined to say, TCU as well. Then I see FPI comes out and says Oklahoma State's a top 10 team. I don't know what that's about.
I don't. I mean, they lost, you know, they don't have Chuba Hubbard anymore.
Sam, you don't have to defend FPI anymore. That's got to be a nice part of your job these days.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. They have Bill Connolly over there, so I would just rely on that.
They should too. They should too. I think it's the top two, I feel like, is so well-defined just because Iowa State brings pretty much everybody back, and Oklahoma's gearing up for a run here, but that's and also that's just kind of the Big 12, right? Texas Tech has been in a lot of games over these last 2 years. You know, could have beat Texas, could have beat Oklahoma State, also lost to Kansas 2 years. Like, you know, you can play with, you know, on a good day when they're healthy and stuff, they can play with a lot of folks, but it's just been hard to kind of put it together there. But that's also kind of how this league is, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely how this league is. That's why we love it so much, right? It's just insane.
No question. Another spring game over the weekend wasn't televised, so we don't have a ton of takes on it. But
Max. I do want to ask Sam about the fumble Ruski play. Can you describe it to us?
Since
I wasn't able to see this. It.
Yeah, they hid the running back behind. They have a 7-foot offensive guard or offensive tackle. Yeah, Trevor Roberson. He's from the Panhandle, and I remember when he committed. He's a big boy. Yeah. So they hid the running back,
probably the
him.
Tallest player in college football. I don't know how to look that up, but I'm sure he is.
He's got to be. Yeah. They hid the running back behind him. You know, quarterback rolls out right. Everybody kind of holds, and then running back slips out the left. Actually, kind of resembled, if you guys remember, Houston and Tulane on the Thursday night a couple years ago when Tulane scored two plays in the last 23 seconds. They ran a play just like that kind of get them toward midfield. And they were having fun, dude. They were throwing trick plays. They were doing all kinds of craziness in the spring game. Matt Wells told me the day before, he's like, we're not going to play a ton of starters. And certainly not a lot of reps. We're just going to have fun. We hope to get out of there healthy. They only played out 2 quarters, but it was definitely a lot of, let's just throw caution to the wind and throw a bunch of fun stuff out here. So
if they
that's
can
what the spring game
whole...
should be.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I implore them, Sonny Calvi, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not, please create a whole package where your 5'6" running back Chucks is hiding behind your 7-foot offensive lineman. I think there's the potential is endless there.
You know, the other thing was that was fun, and this I think is the first time I've seen this in a spring game, was they did like skeleton drills and one-on-ones, and they had Rico Jeffers commenting on the mic over the PA for everybody during the one-on-ones. And so it was great. You know, if you've been to practices, you've heard guys, you know, cheering on other guys or saying, oh, this is a catch. That's a catch. That's a catch.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pick, you know? And so there was a lot of that going on. And it was so great to hear that. And I was like, can we get something like this during a game during the fall? Like, can we get some live commentary from coaches or players during the game? Because it was fantastic to listen to.
Yeah, we got to make these fun, right? I mean, especially for the folks who haven't been able to go to games last year and stuff like that, who were able to come out for something like this. You gotta go a little crazy with it. Now, TCU also played their spring game. Don't have a ton to say on that, just because they don't ever – Gary will never, ever, ever televise his spring game. He wants to – you know, they had fans in the building, but they don't want any opponents seeing any of that stuff. I saw Zach Evans did break a big touchdown run. You know, looks like, I mean, I think TCU's like, I'm starting to talk myself into, like, I think they're going to be pretty good this year. At least they've got on paper, they should have the pieces, you know, even with losing the two safeties, who are going to be high draft picks. I feel pretty good about where they're at. What do you think, Sam, as you start to size them up?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, they got a lot of backs back. You mentioned Evans, who I think, you know, we all know the kid's a potential star. Like he was a 5-star recruit for a reason. And I think having him back and his potential breakout season could be huge for them. Max Duggan. I still don't know if I'm all the way there on Max Duggan yet, but I do know he's a talented guy. He can make some plays. If he can take care of the ball, I think they've got a real shot. You know, and let's not forget last year, he missed most of camp. You know, he had that heart procedure, you know, done. And so he kind of had to, you know, kind of play himself back in throughout the course of the season last year. And we saw their trajectory at the end of the season, winning 4 out of the last 5. I think with a full off season and him being healthy and everything ready to go that running game, I do think they got a real chance to make a big step up this year and make those one of those Gary Patterson kind of come out of nowhere and win 10 games type of year.
Sorry, Max. I was just going to say, loyal listeners to this podcast will remember I started last season very high on TCU. Then they beat Texas, and I was very high on TCU. And then I was fell off a little bit. Then they, you know, go on that run there at the end. So I think I'm the same way as you, Max. I think I'm back to liking TCU again. I think I'm back to being on board with them being an upper tier Big 12 team this year.
Yeah, I think it kind of makes sense. All right, last thing here, guys. You both will be at spring games this weekend. Just what are you guys kind of looking to see as you head out to check in on Oklahoma and Texas?
Well, I think for Texas, obviously, it's a first time for everything. You know, Sark is here. It's the Steve Sarkisian era, so we look at everything new. I'm most interested in the offense. What does it look like? You know, is it going to be a carbon copy of what Alabama ran last year, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's what I've heard, is that this is the offense they're going to run. And, you know, how much tight end are you going to be using? You know, I don't imagine we're going to see a ton of Bijan Robinson. I'm sure we'll see some, but, you know, you obviously probably want to keep a guy like that healthy. But the quarterback battle between Casey Thompson and Hudson Card, you know, how do those two guys look? Right. You know, how do they look on defense? You know, obviously you got, you know, a new defense coordinator, new defensive staff. So those are all lots of interesting things. I think this is a fact-finding mission for Texas fans to see, hey, this is what to expect with your new coaching staff.
Yeah, at Oklahoma this weekend, I mean, to me, this is the way it usually is when they've got a quarterback coming back. Is I just want to see what the backup quarter – I want to see what Caleb Williams looks like. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that's really what by far the thing I'm the most interested in, because we all know Spencer Rattler's good. We all know that he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. But, you know, this is always the time. I think back to 2014 when Trevor Knight was coming off the Sugar Bowl, and all we could talk about after the spring game, though, was Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Holy crap, this guy went 11 for 11. Speaking of quarterbacks going perfect in spring games, shout out Charlie Brewer.
Good shout out Charlie Brewer. I'm happy that he's
yeah.
Chuck is back. So. You love to see it.
But no, at Oklahoma, I mean, I'll be interested to see sort of who's starting in some of these places that are open on the offensive line, what the defensive first team looks like. Obviously, we know that could all change. I'm going to also, you know, Lincoln Riley doesn't typically let his running backs play much in the spring games, but Kennedy Brooks hadn't played football in a year.
Yeah. Shake the rust off. Yeah.
How much are we going to see of him?
Yeah. I think that makes a ton of sense. Fellas, good to see you guys. Good to talk about football. I apologize to the listeners. We haven't taped a pod in a little while, but we will rectify that. I shouldn't make any promises. We'll probably do more podcasts. We'll probably do more of these.
Yeah. No, I'm here. I can carry some of the load if we
That's
need
right.
it now.
That's right.
I traverse in Big 12 country quite a bit. So
that's right. We're looking forward to, and we didn't even talk about your barbecue in Waco. I
know.
I don't want to, because
where should I go in Austin this weekend? Here's the question. Like, I obviously don't want to go to a place, unless I go to Hoover's. I don't want to go to a place that I've been a bunch of times. I would like to go to a new place, probably.
That's true. Okay.
I certainly don't have time to stand in line at Franklin.
You know? Well, let me tell you something. I still, even though I live in Big Ten country now, I still like follow all these places on Instagram. So I just like torture myself all the time with what's going on at these barbecue joints in Austin. So I think,
Max, I have to take issue with that. Lincoln, Nebraska is still Big 12 country in my mind. Okay.
In my heart as well. Yes. Now, obviously with Austin, you're talking Saturday morning, right? Or night.
Or possibly after the game.
See, now post game, that's going to limit your options.
That's true.
Then I may have to go and to if you go early, then you may have to stand in a little bit of a line.
I'll tell you one that I don't know if they're still open. I have to ask Dave, our good old friend Dave Wilson.
Yeah.
Dave was a big fan of Curlin Barbecue, and they do brisket kolaches there.
Yeah, that's a good little spot.
I remember they closed at one point during the pandemic, but I want to say they reopened. So I have to go figure that out.
I'm not positive on that.
I have to figure out if they reopened, because I have had their brisket kolaches before, and they were incredible.
We didn't even talk about Lincoln Riley's brisket, you guys.
Oh my God.
Why would we talk about that dry, sad piece of meat? Good Lord. The question I had was, where is the
Jason?
Fat?
You're why not didn't we do to a, the fat a whole podcast roasting the brisket? Why didn't we even think of that? Oh my God.
Sorry, you said brisket and it just hit my head. I was like, oh my God, we didn't.
It was an abomination. You know, and look, I'm not a fan of everybody going and dunking on people on Twitter, but I'm sorry. When you post that, you ask for it, okay?
Yeah.
Especially when you live in a region of the country where people know how to do this properly, okay? That was just ridiculous. And I love Lincoln, and Lincoln's a great guy and everything.
I do too.
I don't even think he cooked it. I think he said it was strength coach or somebody cooked it. But
well, look, and part of it is like glass houses, right? Like I have not smoked a brisket at my house before, right? So if I do,
so you're not going to post it on Twitter if you do. You know better.
Right. When I botch it, I'm not going to share it with the world. But I haven't done it. So I, in some ways, I'm like, okay, he tried. You know, good job, good effort, but no,
the Bart Simpson meme.
You do not
the cake over.
That was Lincoln learned a lesson that day. In terms of, thank you, Jason, for bringing that up.
Sorry, I had to.
There's just a culture of people, I don't know why, but people who would like to post bad barbecue and think that it's really good.
Or a picture of their grill and everything has no salt or pepper on it or anything like that. Like, people just. White guys just love to
barbecue
do that. I don't know what it is. You know,
Lincoln, this is an open invitation. If you want, I can come take you somewhere to a really, really good barbecue joint in Texas if you want to come.
We should have done an emergency pod about this. We should have talked about brisket. We should have had Andy Staples on and Daniel Vaughn and everybody.
Lincoln grew up in a small town in West Texas.
That's what I'm saying. He's from Muleshoe. I mean, like, we should know better than that. That's the other thing that hurt me. Like, he's a Texan at heart. And, like, you should know better than that. Come on, man.
Man, that you know, the driest brisket in the country. It's you
barbecue Twitter is merciless though.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Now, they are merciless.
Absolutely. That was an incredible moment. Okay, for Austin, I would say Micklethwaite and LaBarbecue for me are always worth heading over. Always worth. You know, the lines are never that bad. I know our friend Dave Wilson would tell you Style Switch, which
I like
a little hit and miss for me. But generally good. And then if you want to get like a little funky, I think Leroy and Lewis is worth looking up. They do some very different stuff with their barbecue, but I've only had it once, but they're an interesting one to potentially check out. It's Austin. You got to keep it weird a little bit, you know.
It's Tuesday, so I got about three days to figure it out before I got to get a plan before I get on the road on Saturday morning or Friday night. So
you got a little cutting season this week before you head out there.
That's right. That's right. No, it's been fun. This has been fun. I've been pairing all my trips with barbecue. So
you son of a bitch.
Or food.
I know. Well, fellas, great to see you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please subscribe to our show, One True Pod, on Apple or Spotify. Leave us a review and a good rating. Find all of our stories from myself, Jason, and Sam on The Athletic. If you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, you can sign up with our latest promotional offer at theathletic.com/onetruepod. You don't just get the best college football coverage. You get all of our sports coverage for that. So be sure to take advantage, and we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.